Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
From NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Truth and Justice. Today's episode, I'm super excited about. We've asked listeners to submit suggestions and people that they wanted to hear from during our Between Cases season, and had a couple of listeners suggest to me to have this guest on today because her podcast is just fantastic. I hadn't, as you guys know, I don't actually listen to a whole lot of true crime podcasts, so I hadn't heard about it. So I'm joined today by Stephanie Tinsley, who is the host of the Everything They Missed podcast. So we reached out, made the arrangements, and then spent this weekend checking out the podcast. And first of all, welcome, Stephanie. And also, what an amazing, fantastic job you've done on your podcast, especially from what I understand, it's the first one you've ever done.
This is the first one I've ever done. So for it to be such a doozy, I'm so excited about it. But I've been a true crime fan since the 80s, so I felt like I just jumped right in.
Oh, every time I listen to one like that, so I tuned in yesterday morning when I went to the gym. I turned on episode one. I listened to the trailer, and then I started listening. And I was thinking that you had been in this for a long time. And then I'm like, how are people starting podcasts for the first time and theirs are better than mine already? Like, it's just so good. It's so well produced. I mean, just the content, the investigation, all that, and even this, like, who does your music? Your music's fantastic.
The music, the scoring is, work. Yeah. And that was really important to me because I wanted the production to be as good as the investigation and story. I think that true crime fans love a good sound design. And so Tenderfoot TV did my sound design.
It's so good. And they do. There's so many other podcasts I've listened to that Tenderfoot's put together, and just they do such a good job of just capturing the mood and just drawing you in. It's just the sound design is gorgeous.
Thank you. And I'll mention one original. So Brazen Cyrus, who is Miley Cyrus's younger brother, he composed original music for the show, too. He lives here in Nashville, and he's also big true crime fan. And so we had bonded over another story. And then when he heard about mine, we collaborated on some original music for this show. So a lot of time and energy went into the sound design.
Well, it was well worth the effort because it's absolutely fantastic. Before we dig into the podcast itself, I want to just let my listeners know a little bit. And I'm curious about kind of your background. From what I understand, like this is all new to you, right? You're not you haven't been in media. You haven't been a content creator in true crime. Come from like the finance and sales world. Like, what was your background before you got into this?
Yeah. So my background was in finance and sales. I've lived in Nashville almost my whole life and had gotten my MBA and just really worked my way up through a corporate ladder. The last part of my career, I was raising money for startup companies. So I was in the venture capital startup creative world. So when I think about jumping into this form of creation, I had been in and around the orbit of creators, but only at a business side. So I really got pulled into it from the Alex Murdaugh murders. I don't know if you know about, if your listeners or if you kept up with that murder, but
I didn't keep close tabs on it, but yeah, your husband was one of the attorneys.
My husband was involved, right? Yes. So the lawsuit that he had filed, he was the attorney for Mallory Beach's family, and she had been killed in a boat crash, and Paul Murdaugh was driving the boat. And Mark had filed a lawsuit against Alex Murdaugh. We now know that lawsuit was the motive for the murders, because the lawsuit, the lawsuit was a wrongful death lawsuit and was going to expose Alex's financial crimes. And so the murders were to cover up the financial crimes. So that is when the media firestorm descended on our home. And Mark was in the Netflix documentary. There's a Hulu scripted series where there's an actor playing Mark. So because all these journalists had descended on our home, I was able to sit back and watch how my favorite shows had been made. So I was getting an inside look on, this is what a producer does. This is how you take, this is how you make a Dateline show. Dateline spent days at our house. So I was able to see, okay, you take this story, this is how you break it down. These are the interviews that you get. And for about a year, as all of these people were interviewing my husband, I was just sitting back and watching and wondering, wonder if I could do something like that. And there were some great journalists that I watched, and there were some really exploitative journalists that I watched.
Yeah.
And that's when I thought, wonder if I could do something like this. If I can, I won't do it like this. I won't do it like exploitive and re-victimizing people. But I also wanted to create something really entertaining that I would want to listen to. So that's how I started the journey of what if I could do it. And then the inspiration from the good folks I ran into, the bad folks that I ran into. And my conditions I put on myself is, if a story found me and it was within driving distance of my home, I would tackle it, because I wanted to be in front of people in person. I didn't want to do everything over Zoom. So that's how I got started in all of this, was another murder.
You had a very different reaction to documentary producers being in your home than my wife did. And when I've had them here for like 2020, my wife, every time, the first time that happened was with 2020 or somebody that was in here doing some kind of story. And she was excited about it until they came in and they, you know, moved all our furniture around and spent all day there, and tape on the floor and all the lights and all the stuff they set up. And now she just cringes anytime that's a possible. She tries to talk them into getting like an Airbnb if we're somewhere to fake it, so that we don't have to be in our house when we're doing
it. It's a lot. It's a lot.
So you mentioned that you saw some journalists that you thought were very ethical and the type you wanted to model yourself after. And then obviously some that you knew you didn't want to be like. Are there any in particular that you would like to call out that you saw that you're like, that's the kind of journalist that I want to be?
Yeah. So Eva Pilgrim, she was on 2020. She's now the anchor for Inside Edition. But Eva Pilgrim was definitely someone that came in so prepared, knew the backstory. She was also from the region. And I think that adds a level of care. So she was one. The Dateline producers were top notch. Even the group that filmed the Netflix documentary, they took a lot of care in understanding the backstory. So when I started to do all this myself, those were the role models that were in the back of my head that, you know, if I sound like I know what I'm doing, it's because I was copying them. You know, like I could hear them in my mind of, this is the type of things that, how the cadence or the interviews that, and so I just, you know, would try to copy what they were doing.
Yeah. And I love that too, because it's so much, your story is very similar to my story, where I didn't come from a journalist background. I didn't come from a content creation background. I had to kind of, you know, really learn as I go. And yeah, you'd look to those other creators and other producers to see, like, what does a good journalist look like compared to a not so good journalist?
Right.
So I think that's great. And you said that you were, you know, if a case came to you, you want to tell us a little bit about the case that did come to you and how it landed on your lap?
Yeah. So the case that came to me was the wrongful conviction story of Andrew Hayes. I had never intentionally wanted to set out to do a wrongful conviction story. And it's not because I didn't care about them or they're not extremely meaningful stories and the public should very much be educated on them. But for my first one, I just wanted to find a simple, very true crimey story that just, you know, followed the same kind of storyline that I had always loved. As I was looking for stories to do, my son came home from school one day and was talking about how his friend Lucy had got up at lunch and was talking about her father who runs the Tennessee Innocence Project. And I thought that could be interesting because if this is my first one and I've connected with a group like the Innocence Project, in my dream world, they would hand over all of the files, be able to connect me with people. And, you know, as a researcher and an investigator, FOIA and research could take a year, you know, for you to really, really understand the case. And here is a group that has already done all the work because they've already started their own investigation. When I sat and talked to Jason, he had told me about three or four cases that they were working on. They're a small office, so they only take on about 12 cases a year. And he told me about Andrew's case and played the audio clip that you hear at the very beginning of episode one. When he played me that clip, it dawned on me, wrongful conviction stories, if the wrong person has been incarcerated, that means the real killer is still out there. And that's what intrigued me. It was, okay, so this can be a dual thing. I call it hiding the vegetables in the brownies. If I can get really excited about this hunt for the real killer, but at the same time, educating and exposing how wrongful convictions happen, wouldn't that be cool? So when you get into the story, I don't even let the listeners in on who Jason Gishner really is until episode five. And that is when it's exposed that this is a wrongful conviction. This is, you know, an Innocence Project client. So that's how I went into finding the story.
I'm interrupting this ad break to tell you how you can never have to hear another ad and take a huge step towards helping us continue our work all at the same time. As most of you know, I provide all investigative and advocacy services to the people and attorneys that we cover on the show completely free. Over the years, we provided hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of professional investigations to the wrongfully convicted, completely free of charge. And the reason that we're able to do that is in large part thanks to the support of listeners like you. Our Patreon community funds the overwhelming majority of our work, and I want to take this opportunity to ask and encourage you to join the club. The base level membership is just $5 a month. Now, while that's only a cup of coffee's worth out of your account, it makes all the difference in the world to us and the people that we work with. And for your $5 a month, you get a whole list of extra content, exclusive just for patrons. Every week, Janet, Zach, and I do an hour-long live stream just for our patrons. You also get an unedited video version of the Friday follow-up every week, a weekly pregame podcast that drops into your podcast feed. Patrons often get to participate in interviews that we do on the show live days or weeks before the rest of the audience gets to hear them. And of course, the best part, all of our content is completely ad-free for our patrons at the $5 a month level. Patreon really is the only way that we're able to keep doing this work. And it would mean the absolute world to me, Zach, Janet, and Erica if you'd consider joining if you're able to do so. Joining the Patreon community is super easy. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. Or you can go right to the episode description of this or any episode and just click the link. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support. And now I'll return you to your regularly scheduled ads.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Yeah, and so this is the murder of Danny Harris. It was 2007?
Danny Harris was murdered in 2007, August 20th, 2007. They didn't find his body for 2 months, which is terrible, but he had been estranged from his family. But we knew that he had died on August 20th at the exact time because he had a pacemaker. So it was a gruesome, gruesome scene. Because he hadn't paid his rent for 2 months, he was laying in his apartment dead. The apartment manager had gone in to evict him. And in Memphis, Tennessee is where he lived, in a suburb called Cordova. In Cordova, when you evict somebody, you take the sheriff's department with you because essentially you just take all their belongings and put them on the street. And you can imagine it can be a dangerous situation. So the apartment manager unlocked his apartment door and turned off the code. So, you know, that lets you know someone who left knew him because he knew the alarm, locked the door. And when they entered, it was freezing cold, even though it was August. The temperature had been turned down really low. So as they're walking in, they're thinking there's something strange about this. And then the odor of decomposition hit them. And they opened up Danny's door, and he was laid back on his bed, had been beaten with a hammer several times, so his face was unrecognizable. And because he had laid there for 2 months and decomposed so badly, his skin had turned black. So they couldn't even tell who he was, if he was white or black. But the officers quickly saw a photo of a fellow officer. And so they realized this is Chris Harris's father, who worked for the Shelby County Sheriff's Department. And they realized this is one of our own's father. And so they started what I say is a very hurried and sloppy investigation.
Yeah. And I want to back up a little bit. So when you found the case, so you went into, you contacted the Innocence Project of Tennessee.
Right.
What was that? Because that's always an interesting kind of element for me. There's certain Innocence Projects and attorneys that I've worked with that are like happy to have the help. Let's bring you on board. And then there's other ones where it's, you know, traditionally attorneys don't talk to media. And
right.
So they're very hesitant. What was that conversation like? And what was your experience like working with them?
That's a very good question, because Jason was very hesitant to work with me because on an open case. And there's several places toward the end of the show where you can hear Jason waffling back and forth. He was fine talking about cases that were closed and the person that was out, but one that was open, an open investigation, he was very hesitant about. I am, because I had a background in sales, I'm quite the, quite the salesperson. And also, I've worked in law before. I've worked, I'm not a lawyer, but I had worked in litigation firms before. And my husband is a trial attorney. So I understand trial strategy and I understand all of the nuances. And I think that's why Jason trusted me. However, I had to sign an agreement with him that said he could shut down the production of the show at any time. So starting off like that, knowing that he could shut it down, and he in fact did shut it down at some point. I had started the research in August of 2024. November of 2024, just about 3 or 4 months in, a judge had issued a ruling that was really hard on Andrew's case. And Jason shut the show down and said, we're going to have to go back to the drawing board. Now this process could take years. And I decided I was going to put together a trailer for him just so he could hear what I had in mind. And you bringing up the sound design was, so I had this 2-minute trailer. And once he listened to that, he understood that a lot of care was going into this. And he liked the people that I had interviewed and the way that I had laid it out. So that's how we started was, and all along the way, he was, asking, how is the show going and who have you interviewed and what are you finding? But he was very hesitant at first.
Yeah. It's awesome that you managed to get him to work with you, because I think and it's proven through so many different shows like yours and mine that it can be so effective, but it is so scary for them in that, as similar to a lot of experiences I've had where the attorneys are into it, but they want to keep some control. Yes. Did you deal with any, generally for me, it ends up being kind of a one-way communication to where, like, they want to check in occasionally. They want to hear what I'm doing. They can't really tell me what they're doing unless I have had some attorneys where I've literally signed an NDA with them so that we can have open conversations that's very clear per contract that I can't share what they're telling me on the podcast, because they're just giving it to me as an investigator. But then also I always find that usually they want to know who I plan to interview. And sometimes we need you to not go interview this person because we need this. Did you deal with any of that?
100%. Yes, exactly. Yes. There were a couple of people that I could tell too would have been shaky witnesses, would have gotten spooked. And so he asked me not to contact a couple of folks like that. He also asked me to not contact the victim's family. And you'll hear throughout the show me struggling with that and actually overcoming that. And it was what overcame that is why the case is where it is today. But I didn't realize that a lot of the families of victims, they've held this belief for such a long time.
Yes.
In this case, for 18 years. And so you're asking, it's like the rug's been ripped out from under him. You're telling these people you've believed it's this young black man for the last 18 years. And now we're telling you it's in fact two women that killed your father, not a woman and a man. It's two women that killed your father. In so many cases, it's almost impossible for the victim's family to wrap their head around it. And some get very angry and some retaliate. So I had to take that into consideration. And I didn't speak to the victim's family until episode 7. And that's the big explosive episode where one of the sons of the victims confronts me.
I'm excited to hear that. So I made it through 4 of the episodes and then jumped to the last one to get a little idea of what was good, to get a spoiler for myself. So I'm going to go back and finish the rest of it. Yeah, I find that I generally try to, unless there's an attorney that tells me not to, to contact victims' family members before I start airing episodes. I usually frame it as, I just want you to know what I'm doing and why I'm doing it. You can be involved or you cannot be involved. Oftentimes I find that the victim's family members have always had some doubt. If it's a case that's made it so far to where I'm moving to production, it means there's pretty clear evidence that this is a wrongful conviction. But in order for them, for their own, sanity and their own mental health to be able to move forward, it's like they have to accept that they got the right person and this is over.
Right.
And it's traumatizing, and it's kind of the worst part of what I do, even though I feel that, and I'm sure you feel the same way, that, you know, what I'm doing is for their family member.
Right.
You know, I work on wrongful convictions, but like you had mentioned earlier, my ultimate goal is to get justice for the victims. And by doing that, that will also right the wrong and get justice for the person wrongfully convicted. But my primary focus is to make sure that their loved one gets the justice they deserve and the right person is caught. I always hate having the conversation because I know either they're going to be forced to accept that the closure they thought they had doesn't exist, or they're just going to insist that doesn't matter what else comes in, I have closure and I'm hanging on to it.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Say big on home updates at Menards. Transform your floors and walls with stylish Mohawk porcelain tile. 12 by 24 inch urban forged tiles combine a bold modern look with the timeless beauty of natural stone for a stunning result. Plus, they feature StepSure, an advanced slip-resistant technology providing safety without compromising style. Save big money on Mohawk porcelain tile. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Save big money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
The sun is calling. Are you ready? From beach days to soccer plays, Blue Lizard Australian Sunscreen helps protect your family's skin so you can focus on the fun, not the sun. With no fragrances, parabens, or phthalates, our mineral sunscreen is designed for your sensitive skin and trusted by dermatologists, pediatricians, and parents alike. Be fearless in the sun with Blue Lizard Australian Sunscreen. Shop now on Amazon.com.
And that's what I found. And I don't think it's too much of a spoiler for your listeners that haven't listened to it yet. 2 days before I released my show, September 2nd, 2025, the youngest son of the victim, who was 22 when his father was murdered, he's 40 now, reached out to me on X. And to be quite honest, it scared me because I know two of his brothers are in law enforcement. I had looked at his Facebook page and he looked like every guy I'd gone to high school with, but he looked like he had an allegiance to the Memphis Police Department. And in my show, I am calling into question the MPD's interrogation techniques. So there was a lot of reasons for me to be cautious when he reached out. And, you know, after I met him and had lunch with him, I could better understand his father and his point of view. But I also felt like he doesn't believe the evidence that I'm showing him. He doesn't believe that Andrew Hayes is innocent. And I can't make him believe that. I can only lay out this is the evidence that I have, but it's also the evidence that the Innocence Project had given me. So he's starting off thinking, okay, it's biased. So I had introduced him to let him listen to some of the independent interviews that I had done. But it wasn't until he started on his own journey and his own investigation, which in fact started out as sabotage to the show. But we end up having a very unlikely friendship because we're on the same road of we think this woman, Sarah Lucas, has more to do with this murder. So it didn't matter that we had opposing viewpoints of Andrew is innocent, Andrew's not innocent. It was this common ground of, we need to talk to Sarah. We need to find this woman. And that's how we were able to work together.
I don't want to give any spoilers away as far as what the conversation entails, but in episode 10, is that him
that's
having
him.
That guy? because I wasn't, yeah, because I skipped some episode. I didn't know who I was listening to doing it, but that is intense and what a powerful moment.
Oh, yeah. It was nothing that I ever could have dreamed up. You can't even write something like this into a movie without people questioning it. What he did to get the information that he got, and it starts in episodes 7 and 8 and 9. I mean, the last half of the season is dedicated to Steven and his investigation and what he's doing. He taped everything. Everything mm-hmm. that he did is recorded. And it's the new evidence that he was able to uncover that I took to the Memphis DA that has gotten this case to where it is today with new evidence pointing toward Andrew's innocence. But it is intense what he did. And it's borderline traumatizing, I think, for him, what he had to do to get answers.
I'm sure. I mean, he's using some really manipulative tactics to get the truth out. As I'm listening to it, as someone who, you know, does statement analysis all the time, and I'm always evaluating how people are talking, is like, I could tell, like, part of this is an act to get her to talk. But then you can also hear there's real anger and emotion in that conversation too, that you could tell that he's fighting off when he's having the conversation. You can't ask. And I think in any true crime content that I've consumed, and I've obviously consumed a lot of it because of my job, it was just one of the most riveting, compelling, like, moments that I've heard, because it's just so raw and real.
Yeah. And I think the fact that I've never done a podcast before, I didn't have this professional team behind me to tell me how to set it up or tell the story. It's raw. Episodes 7 through 10, you know, and because he didn't have anybody to talk to after he would get off the phone with this person, he would call me and I would coach him on interview techniques. I would coach him on police interrogation methods because I had studied those for the show. And so he and I would talk day after day, night after night, strategizing on how he could continue to talk to this person. And it got to the point where he and I we had come to blows. In episode 9, you hear a huge confrontation between he and I that I thought we would never recover from. But mm-hmm. we did, and we were. But it was like we were going through war together to get answers. And sometimes we were fighting each other.
That's so incredible. What did the process look? You say you started investigating in 2024. Like, what was kind of your timeline? Did you have everything done, recorded in the can before you launched in September? Mm-hmm. Or were you still kind of doing it, you know, as you went?
So I started the investigation and research in August of 2024. By July of 2025, I had enough to start writing. And so I, along with a co-writer, all summer wrote the story. When we dropped the first episode in September, I mean, the story was still live and happening. And Steven mm-hmm. had just contacted me. So I thought this was going to be 6 episodes. But when we were getting up to launch date, we were realizing this isn't, I mean, there's much more to the story. So we released 6 episodes and then took a 2-month break, so I could catch up on everything that was happening. And it was in the 2-month break that you hear episodes 7 through 10. So when you hear episodes 7 through 10, you think, well, maybe that was over the course of 6 months. It wasn't. It was over the course of like 3 or 4 weeks. So it was half of, yes, the stories are done and ready to be released, and half of a news, like live news happening. So it's episodes 7 through 10 I released all at once on January 15th of this year. But I mean, you'll hear that the things that happened in those episodes only happened weeks before. They were happening at Christmas time, weeks before.
I was going to ask you about that when I was looking at the releases of the podcast. I saw that there was like a dump of episodes.
Yeah.
All of them right there on the 15th. Like, why did you end up doing that?
Okay. Against all advice. And this is because I am a true crime fan, and I did it for my fans, because that's how I listen. I binge. And these last 4 episodes are so good. And it's like a page turner. Like episodes 1 through 6 are really good. But when you get to 7 through 10, it's like, holy shit, oh my God. So yeah. There was no way that I was just going to do it weekly. I just dumped them all at once. Everybody got mad at me. I didn't care, except the fans. And then everybody was like, thank God. But yeah, that's why I did it like that. And when you're an independent creator, you can do shit. I just did it because I wanted to.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And I love that it was for your audience, knowing like if I listen to episode 7, I want to wait a week to hear episode 8.
Right. That's too good. And the cliffhangers are so good. I've got a really great co-writer, and he's like the master of cliffhangers. His cliffhangers are so strong that, yeah, there was no way the cliffhangers you hear in 7 and 8 and 9 that you would want to wait a week. I would have pissed people off.
Yeah, for sure. Now I'm torn because I had jumped ahead to make sure I had an idea of how things concluded before we talked. But I'm so into where I'm at in episode 10 because I didn't finish it. I so badly want to finish it, but I also now want to go back and like finish up the... seems like I need to hear this play out in real time. Sounds incredible.
You really, really, really do. You really do. Because, I mean, it's as raw and real as anything you'll ever hear. And by the time you get to 10 and listen to all that and you have gone on that ride and know what happens and know how we got to that moment, it is unbelievable.
That's fantastic. So
it's just how the story played out. It's not unbelievable because I'm just some great writer. It's just, I just wrote what was happening.
So the big question everybody's going to want to ask when they listen to this and listen to your first season of Everything They Missed is there going to be a season 2?
I hope so. There's not one in the works yet, but the title, Everything They Missed, is such a great title that it just seems like it would be great for season after season. So I would love to. I'm sure you can relate as an independent creator. Now you're way ahead of where I am. It's a lot of work for a person of one. And, you know, it's a financial commitment as well. I'm not backed by an iHeart or a Sony. I'm not backed by anyone. And so it's because of interviews like this and your listeners, how we get the story out and build our audience. I would love to. I'm hoping that another case finds me. And I think that hopefully it will, and there will be more to come.
Well, I'm super excited about it. And then that's the trick is, you know, for me, after 11 years of this, is finding the right case to make it work. And that's but the other nice thing about being an independent creator is you could take your time and do that, and you don't have some contract beating down behind you. I'm the same way. I'm completely independent as well. So that's why we do these seasons, to try to help promote other people's work that are doing, as I say, people that are doing great work in the space, is to give me time to find that next case, the one that really is going to make an impact. And I'm sure you're going to be doing that. And I'm looking forward to season 2, which I'm sure is going to come up. One thing I want to ask you that I'm going to play right at the end of this is if you can send me your trailer.
Yeah.
As we wrap this up, I'd like to drop your trailer in right here to give the audience just a little taste of what the show sounds like.
Thank you. Yeah, the trailer is, I love a good trailer, and this one doesn't disappoint.
Oh, it's real good. So audience, what you're about to hear as we're wrapping this up is the 2-minute trailer for Everything They Missed. And Stephanie, thank you so much for joining me. You've done amazing work. I cannot believe this is the first podcast you ever made. It's one of the best I've heard in a really long time.
Thank you.
And audience, go check out Everything They Missed.
Thanks, Bob.
Well, Mr. Harris had been living there for some time, and some months had passed where he hadn't paid his rent. They knock. Nobody answers. They're concerned. The apartment was locked, and the alarm was on. So they go inside, realize something really bad has happened here.
An October afternoon in 2007, Memphis deputies were called to check on a tenant who hadn't paid rent. What should have been a routine welfare check quickly spiraled into something far more disturbing.
You have some blood around the house. You have disheveled paperwork.
The AC was blasting. Dozens of candles were burned to the wick. Air fresheners dripped from outlets. Then they saw a towel, jammed under the bedroom door.
So the police go in, and what they encounter is a horrible crime scene.
A man was dead, and within 2 days, multiple arrests were made. On paper, it looked like swift justice, but lingering questions were silenced. Silence that has held for 18 years, until now.
This was one of the most poorly investigated cases I've ever seen.
We're taking seriously the idea that there may be someone that needs to be prosecuted. We're going to be investigating it.
You're never going to believe who reached out to me last night over X. This message flips the entire case on its head.
You know, she's got the scream like, so you're going to sit here and tell us a bold-faced lie? You're going to sit here and lie in our fucking face?
Is he being honest? Is he really wanting to help? You know, what is he trying to do? What are his motives?
Well, I'm finna knock on the door. Let's go in hot. Let's go in hot like that. Stay on the line.
That's what worries me, is that I am not ready for this story to be out in the world. Because once that happens, I lose control of the narrative.
This is more than an investigation into a murder. It's about what gets ignored and the choice to look the other way.
We'll just call and tell you you were right.
What about what?
I guess everything. About this whole thing.
I'm not looking the other way. I'm choosing to tell it all. I'm Stephanie Tinsley, and this is Everything They Missed.
You're asking questions about me for what? That shit was closed years ago.
Well, it's open again.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X @truthjusticepod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.